All right, you know, we've been talking about the hope of his calling. Amen. The hope of his calling. And I'm just going to speak from my heart this morning to that fact. The hope of his calling. Hebrews 3:1 calls it a heavenly calling. A heavenly calling. Now, what do I do with God's calling on my life? We've seen it that we have a corporate calling, right? We've seen it that we have a corporate purpose on earth. We all do. And I emphasized last night that division is God's accommodation. Division by tribe, division by tongue, division by, it's God's accommodation. The only division in humanity that God ordained, and it's not a division, there's a union to it, it's male and female. And that's why I say created he them. Male and female is the only distinction that's man made by God. Every other thing, tribe, tongue, color, race, nation, is not in the plan. Is not in the plan. So having seen we have a corporate function, a corporate goal, we're all together, the body of Christ. And I told you last night that the gifts available for you don't include your talents. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, Ephesians 4:11, 1 Corinthians 12:28, apostles, prophet, teacher, miracles, governments, helps, diversity of tongues, and gifts of healings. That's what's available to you. Romans 12, verse 6, prophecy, teaching, ministering, giving, showing mercy, ruling. That's what's available to you. That's what's available to you. So what you need to do, and last night hands were laid on you, and just like Timothy, you will find out the gift of God in you. You will see it in at work. 1 Timothy 4:14, hands were laid on you. When hands were laid on Stephen and Philip, Acts 6, they were chosen as deacons, associates to the pastors, to the leaders, and hands were laid on them. And what happened? Scripture says, in verse 7, it says, the word of God grew and increased, and many priests were obedient to the faith. So laying on of hands oftentimes stirs up the manifestation of the gifts of God. So God's called you, right? Are you called? If you are saved, you are called. Because salvation is his call. We said salvation is his calling out, right? That's preaching. Genesis 1:3. God said, let there be light. He calls, then he calls out. He calls the darkness from the light, sorry, the light from the darkness, and separates the light from the darkness. Then he calls the light day. So three things have happened to you. You have been called out by God, which means you are on his mind. Psalm 8 verse 4 says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? He says, you've made him a little lower than the Elohim for a time. And he says, you crown him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. So God has you in mind. Because he has you in mind, and the word mindful actually, the Hebrew word is zakah, something you mention all the time. God, there is no sinner in the world that God has not put the message on someone's lips for. Because God is always thinking about man. So he calls out to you. That's how the gospel was preached to me. For me, for example, over 34 years ago, I was privileged to hear the gospel. And when I heard the gospel, my dad told me earlier never to get born again. He said it's a lie. There's nothing called born again. That is just a religious thing of brainwashing people. And fortunately, we had a cousin who will be born again today, then born again tomorrow. His life just didn't show it. So I was, and my dad was my model. So he was my model. He inspired many things in me, you know. So it was very easy to believe him for what he told me. And, you know, I believed that, and I felt true. There's nothing called what's born again, you know, and all that. Interestingly, I'd had a small problem with the church. because when I was younger, someone saw a prophecy, or prophecy saw a person. And the person said that I had to stay in the church for a week. And I was staying in the church for a week and I had to be eating corn coconut. You should know, right? What did you do it? Did you have to measure it for you to do it? Corn and coconut. And I was a young boy. So I sat there and I said to myself, I will join the military. If you know, the 70s and 80s, we had military government in Africa. I will join the military and I'll rise to a top position and I'm going to plan a coup. When I plan a coup, I'm going to announce the first day, fellow Nigerians, this is to bring to the sad end this administration, and every administration is always full of corruption. That's what everybody says when they take over power. Corruption. So I'll now say, the first thing is that we are banning all the churches. Especially the one on 7 Adam Street. Who will reshoking Lagos? That was it. It was on my mind. So I had all that bias, you know, interestingly. But when I heard the gospel preached, I remember when I was to be born again, the song that was being sung that day was, I will cast, brother, I will cast all my cares upon you. You know the song? I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. At any time, I don't know what to do. I will cast all my cares upon you. So as I sat there, I got saved. And thank God it didn't allow me some more minutes to think about the speaking in tongues part. Because you said you have to speak in tongues. You know, when you are born again, you are born in with faith. So I just spoke in tongues without knowing what they were saying. So if they had given me one day to think, I'll have said, what is it for? Unfortunately, those who got me filled with the Holy Ghost didn't know why they were speaking in tongues. I'll have questioned the whole stuff, you know. So I got saved. And then that very day, I learned the song that day. As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longed. Interestingly, when I first said it, I thought it said, as Daniel. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone will my spirit yield. You alone are my heart, desire, and I love to worship you. The first song I learned, I'm giving you some story. His banner over us. His banner over us. His banner over us. His love. The very same day, the fourth song, if you guess it, I'll give you eternal life. You know the fourth one? I'll give you something. Complete, complete, complete in you. I am complete in you. Complete, complete, complete in you. I am complete in you. It's not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. It's not by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone. I am complete in Him. I will give you number 5. You get that one. Well, where I'm going, you get the fifth one. So but you know that I'm always grateful for the man who mentored us then, Reverend, he's never called Reverend. We call him Brother Shola or Uncle Shola Oladile. And he never let us know when God called us. Because the moment we got born again, secondary school boys, we started attending ministers' meeting. In fact, the week I got saved, they took all of us to a crusade to go and watch it. Started attending Bible study. The very day I got born again, I did evangelism. The week after we went to town to do outreach. That year I didn't do this, but some of my own mates were going for village evangelism. So there was really no time to think whether God called you or not. The man had called you himself. So that was a good trait. So I usually say, and I'm sharing my own life experience, that what that happened was one day, of course I was in and out and all that, till one day, call it Christianity, by the way, okay, I do, and I was there in my grand aunt's house. And that was where I said, Lord Jesus, now I'm ready. I will dedicate my life to serve you. If I'm the only one left, just give me enough blood to run around the world. That's what I said. I will go. Now, that is not when God called you. That's when you responded. Salvation is his call. That response is consecration. Now, what has happened to many of us is we have given excuses. You know, my age. You know, like Pastor was saying yesterday, that people say it was for young people. But the truth is, Jesus said for you to enter his kingdom, you must act like what? A child. Your age must not come into the plea, into the mix. Your age can't be in the barrier. Moses was 80, right? 80 years old. Caleb was the same age. Joshua was also 80. You thought Joshua was one small boy in senior secondary school? No, he was 80 years old. Many people do not know. He was between 70 and 80, really. He was an old man. Isaac was not a young man. They were young folks. Jacob was not a young man. God has a history of using people across the board. It can be your career. It can be your marital status. It can be because you are widowed. There was a widow in scripture who stayed from that year, she was widowed till she was about 90. And she was praying and waiting on the Lord. There is no excuse you have. You have someone in scripture who is doing what you said you couldn't do. And you come back to today's world. I remember in the university. Then, this is my 29 years ago. We were going to pray. We're going to pray University of Ilorin. That was my first university then. And we were going to pray. The prayer squad, called the intercessory unit or something. It was led by Brother Tayo Ladiko. He's now a pastor in Lagos. His church is Success International Church. He was my prayer leader. We called him Father Nash. And we still relate. He's my friend on Facebook. So, we went to, we call it Zion, to go pray. So it was about to rain. I don't think the thing started dropping, sir. I think it just like we are seeing now, considering the wind. They're just, brethren, let's move our prayer meeting till tomorrow. And if you know Ilorin very well in Nigeria, it didn't used to rain so well then, but when it rained, it will rain. So, we just said, let's move the meeting. So as we were leaving, they wheeled someone in. They wheeled in his own wheelchair to go come and pray in the same spot. Now, if you're a Christian and that sin doesn't change you, I doubt your salvation. There are things that will change us. You know, in Christianity, I told you yesterday that pastor, he is first among equals. I'm first among equals. I tell leaders in church. What we do really is to show you the example. It's to be the example. It's to be the example. And for order, we are ahead in the sense of bringing order to what we do. You know, we learn by example. Why do you think the unbeliever in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says that when he secret has been made manifest, and verse 25, he will fall down on his face. How does he know how to worship? He will see you do it. So I'm going to ask you a question. Would you want a first timer or an unbeliever to emulate you in the service? Would you want the unbeliever to come into the service and not have a Bible? Come on. No. Would you want, and I say this also to church leaders in Lagos, sometimes they, in the bid of, you know, mobilizing people for the service, they arrive the service late. So I said that you're already discipling them wrongly. You are bringing a man to church late, you're saying you are discipling, but that's part of your discipleship. You are discipling in late coming. So let me get back to this. Things must affect you. Like Pastor Christopher Yakelome will always say, that when you see certain people do certain things, you ask yourself, are we going to the same heaven? Because you notice that, look at the commitment, the dedication, the kind of commitment given to the gospel. So I saw in Brother Shola, then Uncle Shola we call him, I saw him in him a dedication. He was a teacher in school, so he had his own career. But he was so dedicated to us as young boys, sometimes we'll wear him out. We'll go to his house and stay there and, you know, do everything possible to destroy it. And he accommodated us. He saw the future. And he is the only, I'm not saying this out of, there are people I respect and I will always respect and I owe them in awe, but he stands in his own stead that when he picks the phone and he talks, I'm very cautious of my responses. Because the main reason was my school teacher was my guardian's counselor, my housemaster, and of course, he was my first pastor in that sense. So the truth is, it was his example that drove us to be dedicated. Your consecration inspires people. Don't stop. So hear this. What do you do to the call of God? You dedicate yourself to it. You know how you stay with your wife and you say, till death do us part, even though it's not in the Bible, but it's a good vow. Amen. Though some guys don't wait for death. And you say, you are, I'm going to be with you for the rest of my life. And you make that commitment to her, and your wife makes a commitment back to you. And some of us don't even wait till we start to do the kissing on the wedding day. And I saw Kai, he's reading the wedding vows and he's crying. I never knew that I could make love like this. I called him, oh boy, this thing doesn't take tears. I've been emotional. It's a long distance. Oh boy, forget these things you're watching on Instagram. Oh boy, this one, you're crying. You are trying to mimic Denzel Washington. It doesn't work like that. Oh boy. When you start living together, you know the commitment part. Because at a certain point, you get bored. This is the only person I've seen for the rest of my life, you know. And that's where the commitment comes in. The same way, you'll have to make up your mind to do this forever. Forever. To do it forever. To hear the word forever. To study the word forever. To pray forever. To keep learning forever. To ensure your conduct inspires other believers forever. To ensure that you live for God forever. You're going to have breaks here and there. You're going to have errors here and there. But you must make up your mind. I'm going to give it all. It's not a Pastor Gilbert sermon. People make that mistake. God is using pastor to be the helper of your joy. And I always tell people, God just uses men to remind you of his will. Don't blame the men. Don't blame the men. So, what is left in our calling? Commitment. Dedication. And dedication to what? Dedication of our time. Time is the number one thing you dedicate to God. To create time. Time to study. Time to pray. Are you here? You know, it also is time when you want to make a decision. You create time to hear him. Never be in a hurry to make decisions. Create time to hear him. Create time to listen to him. Create time to listen to the teaching. Create time to come to church. Create time for other believers. Create time for others to minister to you. You create time. You give your time. You also give yourself. And yourself includes your physical body. You will say, physical body, you are no longer for the world. And that's not just about coming to church. You are saying that my body is God's temple. Fornication won't rule in it. Sin won't rule in it. Are you here? Sickness too will not rule in it. I make a commitment to God to use my body for his glory. So if I'm not married, no sex. When I'm married, sex only with my wife or my husband. Are you here? That's commitment to God. Okay? You dedicate your body to him. You dedicate your mind to him. Which means that you control the content that goes into your mind. You don't stay on social media and just browse till you get to a porn site. You dedicate your mind. You dedicate your body. You dedicate your resources to Him. Your resources. You commit them to Him. Your money. I don't know how much I give. I don't. But when I see what some give today, I remember I was in the boarding house when I said, Lord, I'm going to give you 1 million. I'm going to give the gospel 1 million. I set the target. I was in boarding house in secondary school. And from secondary school, I started to partner with missionary organizations, two of them from secondary school. I was a partner. One time that daddy said, I want to raise more money in youth foundation. They said, so $1,000. I'm going to do it. I didn't eventually do it, but my heart was right there. I've eventually done it. We can go on and on. I was in a service and I didn't even have money to go back home. And I committed myself. That's about 23 years ago or so. Said, I'm going to give them so amount of money. I didn't have it. And I said, Lord, I'm waiting for you to supply it. I'll give it. It was a church building of a ministry in Lagos. Some of you know the church anyway. I just said I was going to give to it. So I 2 weeks after or so, I went to preach somewhere. And when I preached, a guy came to me and his brother got healed. So he gave his whole salary, his first salary to me. It was the exact amount. Interestingly, I needed the money badly. When you know what we need money badly? When you start to dream, and your dream says you are in a Rolls Royce, that means you need money. When you are yet to even have a motorcycle, and you are seeing that you really need money. So I got the money, and I had to take it to that church. I gave it to one of our pastors, Pastor Funkes, and I said, hold this money for me. I don't want to spend it. I need it. Don't show me until Sunday when I'm going to that church so that I can drop it. I said to myself, is that even safe? Because along the line, so I took the money and I gave it. And I've never known what to give since then. Never. Never. I said, just give. You dedicate your resources. You dedicate your plans to Him. Don't make a plan and ask God, is it your will? When you set the will in motion, you ask Him. I told you, the guy was saying, oh, God wants, he said he wanted to go to Canada. So I told him, I said, okay, go pray about it. He came back. He said, I sense that God, it was clear to me, Pastor. In fact, the person said, at WCC, people always use WCC. Somebody gave a word. It's never me. Somebody else gave a word in the Holy Ghost meeting. I've told you, or not you, I tell them in church, the most superior prophecy in the service is from your pastor. Is that clear? You must check with, no matter what prophecy someone gives you in the Holy Ghost meeting, check with who? Your pastor. I've seen people give prophecies in Holy Ghost meetings that were inspiring fear. Some were suggestive. That's how somebody came to one of our services, and the way his hair was like, he didn't look like one of us. So a guy walks up to him and says, the Lord says, dedicate yourself. Set your heart for Him. It's time to do that will of God. It's time to give yourself to the gospel. And the guy is a pastor. He didn't know. So you can have those kind of things. They will happen. The exorcists are part of the things we see. So you check with your pastor. Is that clear? Don't let someone give you a word. I see you in Cambodia. Go and apply for Cambodia. Check with your pastor. Okay? Uh-huh. So this one says Canada. I said, go pray. But I think when he prayed, the Lord told him to go Canada. The Lord didn't tell him he was going to apply for a visa. So when eventually he applied for a visa, they didn't give him Canada. So I said, okay, let's see how it goes. I thought he was going to try again. Then he comes back a few months. One of my uncles said I can go to UK. I said, He said, I'm just thinking, usually people like that have told people what they were going to do. So they are under pressure. So he goes ahead and then the UK didn't come through. Then he comes again just a few months ago. I think, was it like January? He said, Pastor, I was told I can get in through US. I said, you'll still go to hell the way you are going. He's like a football player that doesn't know what the goal post is. And he plays the ball to anywhere. He will score one goal. What did God tell me? Someone said, Maguire. What a name. A name above all names. We have spiritual Maguire. Glory to God. You dedicate your plans such that you say, Lord, this is what I plan to do. You tell me what you want, and I put mine down. And I'm telling you, that is what you need to do to the call of God. Getting excited over it is good, but you must be committed to it and dedicated to it and see to it that the job is done. You must dedicate yourself. You must be ready to follow through. And like I said to you the first day and maybe the second too, that I love to be convinced. I love to be convinced. But when I am convinced, I shut the door for doubt. I shut the door for anxiety. I go full blown into it. Because nothing works when you give it half attention. You must give it everything. Those who preach error, give it everything. Alright? With the level of knowledge your pastor exposes to you every week, the things he teaches you, the commitment from the cell leaders, then you give your all to it. Play for me, we close. Your all to it. You play for us, we close. Give your all to the cause. The pastor shared yesterday, when David was anointed by Samuel, 1 Samuel 16, 13, and 1 Samuel 17, he goes to serve his brothers at the war front. And Eliab saw him. Of course, Eliab is still feeling bad that he wasn't chosen. After going to Rhema Bible Training Center, leaving with Missouri Academy, God didn't choose him. And then you have David says, who is this guy? You don't know him? He's Goliath. And he says, what will be given to the man who brings him down? What will be given to the man who brings down this idol worship? Who brings down this worship of sex? This worship of money? What will be given to this guy? Eliab said, you come here again, you proud, haughty fellow. What are you doing here, pompous fellow? Because was it because hands were laid on you? Who do you think you are? Have you taken care of the father? The few sheep. He said, few sheep. You could always know later why God rejected people. You will know why it was not Esau. You will see why it wasn't Reuben. You will see it eventually. Sometimes you think God is just... No, you will see it why it wasn't Esau. You see later why it wasn't Reuben. You will see it. You will see later why it wasn't Cain. We saw later why it wasn't Eliab. Eliab was a guy who had contempt. It's a few sheep. He didn't have regard for what David's father's sheep was about, but David was able to kill a lion for it. Was able to kill a bear for it. There's folks that see nothing in what you're doing. That house was under that tree. But you are fasting about it. You are praying about it. You are investing your time on it. And one day, God who trains you in the secret will bring you in the open. And David responded, stand to your feet. He said, is there not a cause? If I give my life for this cause, is there not a cause? If I give my resources, is there not a cause? There is a cause. There is a reason, a noble one, that makes you fast, that makes you give your all. Sometimes, and you know, I'll tell the truth, sometimes we even fall into weakness. Almost sickness many times. Illnesses. For dedication to the cause. Paul had the same experience as the apostles. But we're not going to tire out. We're not going to tire out. We're not going to give up. We give our all to this. You want to sing that song for us? Yakar House and all the churches. What are you doing about the call of God upon your life? What are you doing about it?